From legendary locals we all know to people you should get to know. Follow Ipswich Today on your favourite app and never miss an episode. Or go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Coming up, Stephen Purcell and Helen Youngbury from Goodness Street Life are running as a team for Ipswich City Council Division 2. In this episode, Stephen Purcell joins the show to talk about homelessness, flood disasters, and his other key platforms, including planning and development. It's Thursday, March 7, 2024, and I'm Alan Roebuck. Welcome to Ipswich Today, which acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which it is produced and pays respects to elders past, present, and emerging. This podcast is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. Thank you for speaking with Ipswich Today, Stephen Purcell.
No, thank you very much.
This is not your first run for council. You had a go in 2020 at Division 2 and in 2016 as a Greens candidate in the former Division 1. Is this a case of hoping for third time lucky?
Look, I think there's a lot of work to be done in our community. I stood up because I wanted to see some change in local council. I think the same issues still stand. We still have a former councillor there that I think has, you know, served the city council to the extent that the public would really like to see, and it's time for some change.
You also ran for the Greens in the federal seat of Oxley. Are you still a member of the Greens?
No, I left the Greens back in 2018. I decided that, I guess, I was very focused on my community work, working with Goodness Street Life and Helen's Haven, and that really took precedent for me. I joined the Greens because I'm very passionate about environmental issues. And I got an opportunity as a member there to work on some really interesting policy initiatives. But my passion is community, so it really made sense for me to exit the party and to stand as an independent.
Let's move on to your campaign then. And from your campaign website, there's a big emphasis on housing and homeless. Understandable, given your involvement with Goodness Street Life. You have a running mate in Helen Youngbury. Under the banner of working for our community, you're very close to what's happening locally. How would you describe the current situation?
Look, I think that the housing crisis is being felt by a lot more people than ever before. People are more aware of these issues, and rightfully so. We see families every day calling up that are through rental evictions, working families, and maybe someone's fallen sick or someone's lost their job. There's such a short road between something going wrong and finding yourself without a home. It's a really serious issue, and the rental vacancy rate is so low that people are struggling to find places to go. Something needs to be done, and I'm really excited. Like, at the moment, the state government has a housing strategy, and part of that strategy is incorporating plans with local councils, and they've released a plan across every council in Queensland. Ipswich's plan is due to be released with 22 other councils in March. So it's a prime time for Helen and I, people are very experienced in this space, to have a seat at that table, because we understand these issues, we understand the complexities of it, and we also have a good deal of understanding about some of the barriers and challenges that there exist in Ipswich City Council. So I think, we needed to be there right now.
Can we explore that a bit more, Stephen? What do you expect to be in these plans?
So a large component of that is to make sure that we're creating spaces to support people through emergencies. We felt that very strongly in our community when the flood hit. Hundreds of people displaced from their homes. The emergency plan that council had put forward set up an evacuation site in the centre of Ipswich. And residents in our community were actually isolated from that space due to roads being flooded. It was only through the fact that Helen and I had a space available at the time to accommodate these people that we were able to successfully assist the people that were being evacuated by the emergency services. So I think that really highlighted the fact that without any established structures or systems to protect people in these serious events, We need to do more. There is nothing really in place within Ipswich City Council to navigate that. Now, for us as well, though, there's an enormous need to support vulnerable people in our community. We've seen, hundreds of millions of dollars in state funding come into Ipswich in areas of acute mental health. There's a new drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre being built or planned for, I should say, out in Racevue. These things are long overdue. We're spending hundreds of millions of dollars of state money in spaces where we have no actual transition plan to support these people. With mental health, as an example, we've built a $104 million acute mental health facility. It is an excellent facility. I've done a tour of it myself. They have done so well. But we know every day working in this space that, one, 80% of the homeless people that are living on the street suffering from chronic homelessness suffer from some sort of a psychosocial disability. There are no transition pathways from acute mental health into supported housing. So there are a number of independent operators that operate supported accommodation, but there are very few beds available. And people who find themselves going through those experiences will leave that facility and potentially go straight out into homelessness. And the similar thing with drug and alcohol. We have major issues with crime and safety and drug use in our communities, but we don't actually have any drug and alcohol treatment facilities here. We only offer outreach services. And we know that there's so much work that needs to be done. We're putting, you know, again, hundreds of millions of dollars into upgraded health facilities to include detox beds. But where do the people go after that? They get them off drugs and then they'll be back out on the street. And without that long-term care, we know that it doesn't work. You're not going to see the outcomes that you want.
Stephen, I feel as though you're venturing into areas of state government responsibility there. How can councils reduce homelessness? Because councils don't traditionally build bricks and mortar homes.
Well, no, so traditionally they don't, but the state government is encouraging and saying that if we're actually going to tackle this problem, then we're going to help you and invest in your plans and your strategies. So they're outlaying the plan, that what they'd like to see, and this would involve us looking at identifying spaces that could be used for temporary accommodation or long-term accommodation, to partner with the department and the state government to build and put these needed spaces that will support these vulnerable people. We purchase hotels. We purchase buildings. Council has a large amount of land holdings, and they purchase these things for the economic development of our city. But it is well known that if we're not supporting the social development, then we're not going to succeed. The social development of our city makes a huge impact on our economic development. And I think that's the missing piece. This is why we sort of really fall down in these areas in Ipswich City Council.
Can I just come back to the flood and emergency centres? Two points I'd like to make there is that 2011 flood, yes, I think a lot of people caught on the hop. Since then, of course, the Ipswich Show Society's really stepped up with their new facilities up there and opened up their premises for emergency accommodation while the flood is happening. Do you think the issue might be more notice so people aren't flooded in these little islands across the city?
Notice is great. When we were affected by the floods in 2022, we at Helen's Haven watched those floodwaters rise over a period of a week. We were able to execute our flood management plan and start relocating vulnerable people at that time. But I think, you know, having the space there is only one element. There is some complexities in that require specialised supports. So if we're dealing with people who are older, and in our community we have a lot of older people, you need to make sure that the spaces that are available are suitable and that the right support is there. If you're dealing with people that experience or have issues with disabilities, with addictions, acute mental health problems, you need to make sure that these spaces are partnered with the appropriate support and that is managed. So I think, the space is only one element. It really is developing those broad partnerships to make sure that these spaces are effective.
Let's go back to your campaign website now. You talk about planning and development. What's your approach here? Did you provide feedback to the new draft Ipswich planning scheme last year?
No, I wasn't part of that working group. I've actually been working with local residents here since 2016. That was what actually brought me into run for local council. Local residents had reached out to get some support regarding a development out here in Springfield, and they weren't getting much joy with the current council. Now, one of the issues that we have with development in our area is that they're operating off of a 30-year-old plan. And the advice that a lot of residents today get is that they don't have the right to object, that this has been in the motion for the last 30 years. But what we're seeing, though, is that the development applications that are coming in today are higher density. They're clearing more land. They're making a greater impact on our waterways, and the flood mitigation that we need to see, in my experience, hasn't actually been met to things that have been recommended for decades. So I think there's a great deal of work that needs to be done to make sure that, one, the community have advocacy and support with the developments in our area. So across our division, there is a massive area of protected bushland, sensitive bushland, I should say, which has been identified to contain a number of endangered species. Sorry, I lost my words. Now, this is all planned to be cleared. There's a recent development up in Kalina Stage 2. I actually was supporting the tenants to combat or try to get some changes made to the plans for Kalina Stage 1, which saw a creek which wasn't on the original precinct plan filled in. And the residents there had been told when they purchased their properties that, you know, this is a protected area. It would never get built upon. And that was part of that 30-year plan. But when the actual application went through, councillor changed the decision. So I think there is a bit of contradiction going on with the argument to say that we're relying on the 30-year plan. But if we're making changes to that, and these changes are going to significantly impact the local community, we need to have a greater deal of community consultation. And we need to be looking at the long-term impacts of these developments, because we know that earlier developments perhaps weren't done as ethically as we would like to see them. So there's questions remaining that we need to go back and review what has been done, and are we putting the correct infrastructure in place for local residents?
I think the current planning scheme is a little bit younger than 30 years, 15 to 20 years in my mind, still way overdue for a change. Now, that public consultation was held between May and July last year for the draft planning scheme, which I believe will be implemented later this year. You've highlighted some key areas there, conservation. What other areas are you concerned about?
Infrastructure. I think this has been the missing piece, particularly in our community. We see down on Jones Road in Bellbird Park, where a lot of that new development is coming through. But the roads there are unserviceable now for the current communities. When we get a bit of rain, and not even a flood, these roads become unsafe, and you can't drive down them. So I think that while we're looking at all of the development as it's coming through, I think the infrastructure needs to be upgraded and addressed before we get too far.
Two other policies from your website: a climate smart city. What's your approach there?
Look, I think the sustainable strategy that was released under Mayor Teresa Harding the previous term, I think it's got some great strengths in there. I love to see that the emergency with climate change is actually being addressed, and they're raising those issues and talking about a reduction target in our emissions. I think there's just actually a lot more room for us to develop a really powerful plan here, and it's the right time. We can access funds that are becoming available through the state and federal government to support programs to help drive those changes in Ipswich. One of my policies is a microgrid energy plan. Now, we know, and we're affected by this in our community, whether it be through heat or rain or storm events, that our current network is susceptible to those sort of severe weather events. We know that these are going to be more frequent and more severe. My plan is a strategy that's been trialled by other councils around Australia, and it would involve the investment, I guess, in upgrading our infrastructure in local communities to insulate them against power losses through these sort of events. It also makes it much more efficient network. We have a high uptake of solar in our community, so clearly the residents are supporting that sort of technology. But the inefficiency of our network actually means that we're losing a lot of the benefit of that.
But again, is that more state government responsibility, though? I don't know, councils get involved in power distribution.
No, but they do have the ability, I should say, to invest in infrastructure. And this sort of infrastructure could be a revenue-generating plan. So I'm looking at something, I guess, that can protect and support residents, create revenue streams for the local council, and it also will put us on the map. I think, you know, we can access funding from state and federal, because this is where largely it is funded by. But as we're developing these new areas in our region, I think we should be looking to say, you know what, are we preparing for the future, or are we just filling these homes and supporting development that's not sustainable?
One of your goals also listed is economic development. And again, it is from your website. What do you mean by support local businesses by creating a conducive environment for growth and innovation?
Yeah. Look, I think, and Mayor Teresa has mentioned this before, that you know some of the challenges we face in attracting businesses to our region is some of the unethical practices that have gone on in the past. So I do think that we have work to do to bring new business to our community. And I think councillors do play an important role in that. I work with a lot of small businesses locally. There's opportunities to build more community partnerships. So I know when we help organisations partner up with community groups and local areas, it creates a benefit for the business and it also helps support community activity and community action in the region. These things help drive productivity and they help create local employment. So I think if we support local businesses in what they're doing, then we're supporting the community more broadly.
Stephen Purcell, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for speaking with Ipswich Today.
No, thank you.
That's it for this episode. On the next show, Jacob Madsen, who is running again in Division 1. Ipswich Today is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. This podcast is listener-supported. Please make a once-only gift or regular donation to help keep it online. Just go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Follow and stream this podcast from your favourite app, including iHeartRadio, or play Ipswich Today on smart speakers. Music is supplied by Purple Planet Music. This is Alan Roebuck. Thank you for listening. Enjoying Ipswich Today? Please share the love on your socials.